Hello, Irlandia. Tonight I have two guests with me, Maeve Moran and Kelly Johnson, who are representing a non-profit organization, Health Freedom Ireland. We will be talking about health-related, very hot topics, like medical choices, informed consent, vaccines, and COVID-19. Can you tell us a bit about Health Freedom Ireland?
Hi, Katia. Thanks so much for having myself and Kelly on your show this evening. And it's great to be here. And we're delighted with you providing us with this opportunity to speak about Health Freedom Ireland. Just to give you a little bit of background about myself, I'm a practicing kinesiologist. I've been working within the complementary health field for around 23 years, and I'm a fully accredited member of the Kinesiology Association of Ireland. I'm also co-chair of this group, along with my colleague Kelly, who's obviously here with me tonight. And my interest in vaccines, just to give you a bit of background, really first started after I suffered major fallout with regard to my own health. And this happened following holiday vaccines in the early 90s. At the time, despite knowing something was seriously wrong, intuitively, I knew the day I got the shots, I was really, really unwell and it continued on to just deteriorate. I went to doctors, but I couldn't find any support or assistance within the medical community. So it was really then that my journey into all things complementary and holistic began. It was there that I really found the cures and the healing that I needed. But it was also around this time that I became avidly interested in researching vaccines and their ingredients and also the potential adverse effects they can actually have on people. You know, when we look sometimes at mothers and fathers and, you know, they go out to purchase, say, a new car seat or a pram or a buggy, people tend to do a huge amount of research into these things and they look up the manufacturer and they check reviews. But when it comes to vaccines, we don't have the same care or concern. I think we tend to just go into our healthcare provider and assume they're 100% safe, and very little research is often done in that regard. So it was with this in mind, this lack of knowledge, that we, I think, in HFI decided that we needed some kind of an organisation that would support parents and a desire to give them a platform where they could get the information they wanted. So we, a group of us, came together. We're all working on a voluntary and non-profit basis. And we come from different backgrounds and disciplines, such as medicine and science, research, some from the legal field, we've a few in technology, and some of us also from the complementary and alternative medicine field. And primarily our goal with HFI is to preserve the right to bodily integrity and to protect choice when it comes to vaccination in Ireland. We've also had increasing concerns, especially lately, with Simon Harris, our Minister for Health, who recently declared a wish to make vaccines mandatory for children here in Ireland, in particular to enrol in early years education, a move that we feel would really put many Irish families in a very difficult and compromising position. So we very much want to support these families at this time, you know, using our organisation to do so, Katia.
So can you tell us a little bit more about particular aims and objectives of Health Freedom Ireland?
First thing we aim to do is, and our primary motivation, I suppose, is to give people information. We want to actually empower Irish people to make informed decisions on vaccination for themselves and also, most importantly, for their families and their loved ones. And we hope to do this by providing a resource for impartial information and also giving them links on up-to-date research on things such as vaccines that are currently available on the Irish market, their ingredients and their established and potential adverse effects. And sometimes, Katia, this information isn't always disclosed to parents when they take their children to be vaccinated, either in a local clinic or the GP. And then also there's the illnesses which there are vaccines for. Like, they need to know what the actual risks of catching these illnesses are and what are the established healthcare professional recommended treatments and the prognosis. So we then secondly want to aim to ensure that vaccination is always a choice. That's really important. That would be kind of a huge part of what we in HFI want to put into place, that it's always a choice. We want to safeguard the rights of Irish people. We want to maintain their right to choose whether to vaccinate or not. And we want people to have medical freedom, the right to bodily integrity in Ireland. And this has to come without fear of ramifications or consequences from the state or the health authorities or even establishments that are educational or their employers. And we believe we can achieve this by reaching out to policymakers, engaging with them and providing with rational reference advice and on maintaining medical freedom, especially in relation to vaccination.
There are many listeners now who, having heard that introduction, might think that you are just anti-vaxxers. So how would you respond to those listeners?
I would like to say that I actually don't see why anyone needs to be labeled when we're discussing anyone's health choices, especially regarding vaccination. When someone finds out, for instance, that they're allergic to penicillin and they don't want to use that anymore, we know that they're not labeled as anti-penicillin. We're just saying they're absolutely being quite rational because they've had a reaction. They shouldn't use it again. In fact, all three of my children were vaccinated, and it was back in the 1990s. So at the time, I had many questions and I couldn't find any answers. We didn't have the internet then and things like that to look up. So I gave vaccines to my children based on my doctor's advice. But what I didn't know at the time was that the doctor, who was actually my friend, had not been taught or received very much information in college about adverse events from vaccines or the ingredients in vaccines. And two of my children ended up being injured by vaccines. So actually, if anyone wants to put a label on me, they'd have to put the label X-Vaxxer on me because I gave the vaccines to my children. How I would term myself is I would consider myself to be pro-informed choice. I feel that if the more people who have the information, they can make an informed choice. And if people would like to know what it's like to live with vaccine injury, how it affects the child, their siblings, their parents, the family unit, and how and what we did to recover the health of our children so that they're now independent and can travel and have lives of their own, I've actually written a book and it's called What If I Harmed My Children? And my name would be Kelly C.S. Johnson, and it's available on Amazon.
Now coming back to the current situation, considering that we are now in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, how do you feel about the move to accelerate a vaccine, which is suggested to allow people back into their lives again?
I think we're all aware that it's kind of the topic that's of huge interest at the moment, and we know that several vaccine manufacturers, Kasia, are working really hard to develop a vaccine for COVID-19. But we are also aware that there's many health and vaccine experts who have cautioned that it is unlikely a vaccine is going to become available for quite a few months to come, and if in fact one is successfully developed at all. So we in HFI would be very much opposed to any move to mandate it in any form whatsoever. For example, it's been suggested it might be mandatory in some scenarios for people to actually exit this current lockdown and re-enter normal society. And I personally and the group are thankful that there's actually other groups organising themselves to oppose any such move in many European countries. So we really don't think that this is a realistic scenario, but we feel it's important to keep a watchful eye on policy developments in these unprecedented times, and also be prepared to tackle any such draconian measures. Given that a vaccine could be some time away, we're also very conscious of the need to look at other ways to treat this COVID-19 virus in order to help people themselves to heal, to build their natural immunity, and to help all of us to safely return to our normal lives again. So, yeah.
Actually, a few weeks ago, I interviewed the Chinese American physician, Richard Chen, who actively took part in propagating and designing COVID-19 treatment protocols based on intravenous vitamin C in high doses. He was telling us about such protocols successfully being used in hospitals in Hubei province in China, as well as in New York. But it is not the only allopathic or complementary medicine protocol being used effectively for patients with COVID-19, right?
Yes, that is right. We actually know of several therapies that are being used to help with COVID-19 and being reported in the, they're also being reported in the media. So, for instance, there's chloroquine, and it's given in a combination with zinc and an antibiotic called azithromycin. And it's been used in many countries, particularly France, with Dr. Didier Raoult, who's a director of the research unit in infectious and tropical emergent diseases in Marseille. And he's had what he reports as promising results. And then in New York, in America, you have Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, who's been using it as well and saying that he's having really good results. And then, of course, we have China, who used chloroquine in combination with other drugs, and they've written up on their experiences and they started in February with it. And then we also have therapy using high-dose intravenous vitamin C. And this has been used also in China, Italy and America, and has been used successfully with the COVID-19, the current coronavirus. And we actually are lucky enough to have Dr. Gabriel Stewart, who's a specialist here in Ireland and has a lot of experience with intravenous vitamin C therapy. And we also know that intravenous vitamin C therapy has been used for many many viruses and bacteria and illnesses over the last 80 years, and used by such people as Nobel Prize winner Dr. Linus Pauling and currently Dr. Thomas Levy and many other doctors. We then have traditional Chinese medicine, which has been used alongside allopathic medicine. It has been proven very effective in China, and they actually published a study in the Pharmacological Research on the 4th of March this year, showing their results and how effective it was with this coronavirus, and particularly with prevention, because there's not a lot on offer for prevention. It also, traditional Chinese medicine has a long history and was used within other epidemics like the SARS epidemic in 2003. Then we have homeopathy, which is currently used worldwide by 200 million people. It's been employed in Cuba and India at the moment as a preventative measure. And that's really important to note, because we don't currently have anything in this country which we can use as a preventative medicine to those who are most vulnerable. We also have a history with homeopathy. Homeopathy has been effectively used in past epidemics worldwide. It's a safe and effective medicine system, and it's been used since the 1790s in Ireland, Europe, USA, and the world, and all over the world. We can actually see about a previous time that Cuba has used homeopathy to prevent leptospirosis. They've been using it since 2007, and this is currently written up in the British Medical Journal. And in fact, recently, the Irish Society of Homeopaths have written to all of the elected representatives to make sure that they're aware of this information. And they've written also to offer the help of all their registered members during this current pandemic.
Kelly and Maeve, thank you very much for coming and talking to me about very, very important issues on health freedom and medical choices that we might encounter, particularly in this pandemic, but also generally in life. Your presentation was really very valuable, and I wish you all the best with your organization. And thanks very much again for coming up and talking to us. I understand that your organization can be found as well on the webpage, which is healthfreedomisland.com, correct?
Yes, thank you, Kasia, so much for having us. It was great for getting this opportunity to be able to speak out, and thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much, Kasia. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.